Parshas Achrimos on this late edition of Lessons from the Lev. Of course, it being after Chag HaPesach, Achrimos, I think a lot will not get the fair share that it should because already Yom Tov is over and people have to focus on other. Okay, so I think we should focus on it. I don't want to miss a week. And of course, as always, I want to dedicate our Shurim Lezeich Nishmas Lekadoshim Shenaflu Al Kiddush Hashem. And the difficult situation we find ourselves in the world, as it seems like everybody's turned their back on us. And of course, it just reminds us that we only have HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shematzilinu Miyadam, as we said at the Pesach Seder, and hopefully Mirtz Hashem, and there will be only Besaris Tovus Yeshuas V'Nachamas. And hopefully this lesson will remind us of that, especially in the times of Sviras HaOmer that we're in, that it is our relationship with our fellow brothers that really takes us through to really what we should be and become, and I think that's the time of Sviras HaOmer. So, I want to talk about, very simply, the first psukim of the parasha. The first psukim of the parasha focus on Achrei Moshe Bnei Aaron, as I just said. And a beautiful idea, and we'll share two different ideas that I think should combine with each other, and that we know. The Midrash states the following. The Midrash tells us that the reason for the untimely death of Nadav and Avihu, which we've already spoken about in previous parshas, were for different reasons, right? A shazar that they brought, they were drunk, they didn't listen to the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then we are told that one of the reasons are shelo notlu etza zemizeh. What? They didn't take counsel from each other. They had an idea, they did the idea, they didn't consult each other on it. Very interesting. As the pasuk says, ish man ish machtato, that each person took their own fire pan, again, to assume that they did it, what?
Separately.
Separately, exactly. They did it separately, right? And that is the idea that they acted without consulting anyone. And that's a problem. Why is that a problem? So it comes along with Ari Leib Box, the Rosh Hashiva for many, many years in Detroit, Amir Yeshiva from Shanghai, and he says very beautifully the following thing. He said that this will help us understand the time of the year that we're in. We know that really Sviras HaOmer, as we'll learn in 2 weeks from now, in Parshas Emor, the beautiful Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Ramban really speaks out this idea. The Ramban speaks about how it's a Chol HaMoed, that we're in a very special time. In fact, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would always point out that the original takanas of not shaving, of not doing these type of things, the avelus time, was not actually started as an avelus. Not getting married like on Chol HaMoed and not shaving like on Chol HaMoed were because of the kedusha of the days. And people weren't following it, so they, I don't want to say invented, but the Chazal said, let's go with the students of Rabbi Akiva, and there's an avelus during this time. And yes, part of it had to do with the fact that we needed a little bit more because during this time, there is an avelus of the fact that we don't get along with each other. And that's probably one of the focal points. I would say that there are two focal points during Sviras HaOmer. One of them is we know we're working on ourselves. Those that say the Ribbono Shel Olam after, right? Ribbono Shel Olam, the Tayr Klipaseinu, that we're trying to work on the Klipas and we're trying to work on ourselves. Gvura, Shem Yisod, all these different things. There's actually a Sphira, if you will, no pun intended, a sphere, a counting of ourselves, that every day we should work on another midah. I think Rabbi Haber has a sefer like that. But then there's also working on the students of Rabbi Akiva idea. So Rabach says, what was so bad about what happened to the students of Rabbi Akiva? Many ask this question. And we know that we are told, shelo nogu kavod ze laze. Right? And if you just learned what we said, so one of the reasons why Nadav and Avihu were killed because they didn't get Eitza Zemizah. So the students of Rabbi Akiva, Chazal tell us, Lo Nogu Kovod Zebazah. Perhaps, says Rabbax, that the idea is that they held themselves in such high esteem, they didn't really care what the other person had to say. And this is a really important focal point. And that is that, yes, they were Chavrusas, yes, they were learning together, but there was a lack of appreciation of the other person. right? Almost like, you know, you're learning with, you know, you decide to learn with, you know, your kid, and your kid's, you know, 7 years old, and the kid says, "No, I have a pshat." You don't have a pshat. You're 7 years old. What pshat are you going to have? What are we talking about here? Right? They thought that they were so high, the person they were talking to, like as a nothing, was a nobody, that was that they didn't want to get Eitzah. They didn't care what the other person had to say. How can you learn from such a person? Pirkei Avos tells us in Perek Dalet, Chazal say that the honor of your friend should be tantamount to the fear of your Rebbe. Why? It shouldn't be beneath you to consult. And this is, by the way, a problem in our own society. People think that they're so smart, they don't want to consult authority. They don't want to ask them about the second day of Yom Tov, how to hold on. If you ask the rabbi and he told you, fine, great, that's what you hold. People think that they're, what do I need to do? I could chat GPT, as somebody gave a share, heard, I think. The topic was, there's all these different topics, but he said, I looked it up on ChatGPT, and it paskin, this is the way it paskin. This is Rabbi Leibowitz said. He went to ChatGPT. Do you make a bracha on the the solar eclipse that just happened? Should you make a bracha on it? ChatGPT paskin, no. is that the way we're going to live our life now? Is that what we're going to have? We're going to have poskim that are going to be ChatGPT, Rabbi ChatGPT. So he said that that's the issue here. So Robach continues and he explains that, of course. But no, he said that the tachlis that he thought that you shouldn't make a bracha, you shouldn't make new brachas. Many different poskim actually weighed in on this, Rav Asher Weiss, and said he doesn't think that we should make a new bracha for it. So he said like this: from the beginning of creation, Hashem established a very almost strange concept. If you think about it, He Adam comes onto the scene, Adam Arishon, purposely created alone, and then all of a sudden, a few pesukim later, Lo tov v'yos Adam levado. You shouldn't be alone. It's not good to be alone. Now, we know that Judaism views the imperative of marriage. Rashi says, as he says, Rav Bach, a penetrating insight into levado, alone, explaining why it's so important to have a mate, to have a shidduch. And he says that they should not claim shtei rishtoyisheim. There are two authorities. Hashem is unique, that Hashem doesn't need anybody else, right? Obviously, as opposed to another religion who thinks that, Hashem needs no help. No two authorities. Hashem is unique in that realm. But Adam is unique in the lower realm that people will say, oh, he doesn't need a mate either. He's special. No. Lo tov l'yos Adam levadoi. He was created, Hashem. Right, and we know that when the world was created, it says the Ki'ilu Hashem consulted. Right, so Rashi famously there says, no, he didn't consult with other gods or Lahavdi Lafti Abdullah's Bentar Vatuma. But what did he do? It shows Derech Eretz. You consult with other people even if you know what the answer is already. That's the midah of the Rabbanu Shalom. We are supposed to emulate the ways of Hashem. We just said the word Zekeli V'Yadveo a few days ago. We're supposed to imitate the ways of Hashem. And that's what the Gemara tells us in Barachos. The Gemara says in Barachos on Daf Chazayin Amud Beis that the Chachamim requested from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to accept to be the Nasi, the position of Nasi. He said, I have to consult members of my household. And he says that he consulted with his wife. Why? Because that's the idea. You have to talk it out. This is one of the greatest concepts ever. He speaks about the idea of chasen dom lemelech, because when it comes to a shidduch, the Rabbah said that's why chasen dom lemelech, melech is moilech, he's Moshe, a king, but we see that a true melech, he said, also comes from the word melech is derived from the word hemlich, to consult. He consults his inner circle. Those are obviously the smartest kings, right? Havdil, but Biden would be nothing today if it wasn't for all the people who basically are pulling the strings and telling him what to say, what to do. What? Very right, very good, very good. Excellent. Achashverosh as well. That's what the actions are. So one has to realize that this is a central focus of a Jew. During this time of Sfiras HaOmer, we have to recognize the fact. It's very interesting. And if Nadav Avihu would have consulted, by the way, the key is that they looked at Moshe and they looked at Aaron. They're going to be dead anyway soon. We're going to be the big poiskim. That's who we are. Azai chutzpah. There's literal halachas that tell us you're not allowed to paskan halacha in front of your rebbe, right? The cover that you have to show. They talk about Rav Soloveitchik's yurtzeit was Yud Ches Nisan just a week ago, and they talk about how Rav Soloveitchik would, when Rav Heller, who called one of his rabbeim, came into shir, the respect he has, Rav Soloveitchik to them was the biggest of the biggest, and they see how he treated another person. I remember in the first years when Rav Asher Weiss started coming to Teaneck, I was enamored how Rav Sacks, he couldn't sit in front of him. He was so nervous. The great Rav Sacks and the Rosh Yeshiva and Rabbi Sobolevsky and all the rabbeim, how they treated someone who they knew was Golda Belefanov. But more than that is the idea of consulting, the idea of shiduchim, the idea of having someone, yes, Ezer Kenegdo. My mother's famous line, I learned this from my mother, my parents are still here. So my mother says this great line of Ezer Kenegdo, Keneged. You do need somebody that's going to be your yin yang. There's going to be someone who's going to say, besides, saying that doesn't match, wear something else. But besides that, saying, I think that's a bared etza. I think that's something that you shouldn't do. There's a further lesson that I want to learn on this pasuk as well, which I think is equally as important. And that is that we know that this is, of course, the parsha that we also read on Yom Kippur. In the first 34 psukim is the Torah reading for Shachris of Yom Kippur. And Dafka, we read about the aftermath of the tragic death of Nadav and Avihu, the sons of Aaron. And then we go into the detail of the Yom Kippur service, as if the Yom Kippur service cannot be complete without reminding us what happened before. We know that on Yom Kippur, a person is obviously thinking about life and maybe even death. A person facing the shadow of death is inspired, realizing the value of life. More than any other day in the Jewish calendar, Yom Kippur reminds us of his own mortality, the vital importance of utilizing his allotted time in this world to the fullest degree. Famously, the story of, I think I said it on Lessons of the Lev a few days ago, the idea of the Groz story when he was crying before he died about tzitzis and saying, when I go to Olam HaEmes, you think the Olam HaEmes is the ultimate. It's not the ultimate. Here for a few cents, I could buy tzitzis. There's no tzitzis there. I can't do the mitzvahs. I can't get closer to the Rabbanu Shalom the same way. As long as a person is alive, even in the most weakened, diseased state, he's able to perform mitzvahs and earn a chelik in Olam Haba. But he can't do that once he's no longer alive. That may explain why in Parshas Vayechi, the Torah describes the death of Yaakov Avinu. And we know he makes his son swear, Yosef, to swear that his body will be transported at some point back to Eretz Yisrael. And there are many different reasons for the idea of why he had to, besides being buried in Maris HaMachpelah. Rashi speaks about Tchias HaMesim, at the time of Tchias HaMesim, it will be tremendous, this Gemara really based on the Gemara and Ketuvos, Macholois, so it will be very uncomfortable for them to come. Yaakov didn't want to have that. But the truth is, there's another reason the Midrash gives. The Midrash, and in fact the Yushalmi and Ketuvos also says that Yaakov had another reason. And that reason was, I want to be better in Eretz Yisrael because Tchias HaMesim will happen first. Right? There's also an idea that will happen first on Har HaZeisim. That's why people spend so much money to be buried Har HaZeisim. I want to be the first to have Tchias HaMesim. But what's perplexing is that the Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu was the only human being whose face is engraved on the Kisei HaKavod. Why? We know famous, the Malachim Olim V'Yordim, the famous Jacob's Ladder, the back and forth. Why were they going back and forth? What was the reason? Because they saw the image in Shemayim of Yaakov, and it was the same image. Unfortunately, we have an image. I say unfortunately, you'll understand why. We have an image of what Hashem wants of us, and often it's not what we are. But in Yaakov's case, the Malachim never saw anybody who were fulfilling exactly what the Rabbanu Shalom wanted. They were going up and down and saying, I can't believe this. That's the idea. That's the beautiful idea. If Yaakov Avinu, the father of the Shiftei Ka, the first not to have any children off the path, the greatest of all patriarchs, why didn't he want to stay in Gan Eden? He seemingly, if his face was on the Kisei HaKavod, he probably was right there with the Kisei HaKavod. He was so close to the Shekhinah. What do you want to turn here after Tichas HaMeisim? I would think it's Tichas HaMeisim. Wait, I'm with the Shekhinah. Kisei HaKavod. The answer shows the value of life. Shows the value of serving Hashem and performing our mitzvahs that we can only do once we're alive. The Gemara Nida tells us that how precious the mitzvahs are, as for when we are no longer around, there are no Torah mitzvahs to do. Yaakov foresaw the time, Mirtz Hashem, should be soon in our days, Amen, when the dead will be resurrected, when there will be Tchias Mason. He didn't want to miss out, even for a moment, even for a split second. He said, bring me to Eretz Yisrael. Because he realized the opportunity to do mitzvahs is even more important than the opportunity to go to Olam HaEmes. And therefore, he put Yosef through great effort because he knew that it was the right thing. The extension of this is the story that's told, a very strange story in the Gemara in Ketuvos again, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells over the story of Yehuda HaNasi, Rebbe. He commanded his house that after he died, a lamp should be lit on his couch where it was normally arranged. Why? The Gemara says, every Friday night after he died, Rebbe would come from Gan Eden to his home, dressed in Shabbos clothes, obviously in his bekesha and his strimel. And what would he do? He would say Kiddush. Right? You look there, Gilgal HaShas. He said Kiddush every Friday night. Very strange. This went for a very, very long time until a neighbor knocked on the door exactly as Rebbe was saying Kiddush. And unfortunately, his maidservant answered the door and said, shh, Rebbe's making Kiddush. That seemed very strange because Rebbe had died. And he said, this is not the appropriate thing. And he stopped coming. And it was decided that nobody else would be able to do this, and the tzaddikim were upset. So it's quite puzzling, this incident. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who invented really the oral law, right? If you think about it, he invented the Mishnah. His portion on Gan Eden, probably similar to Yaakov Avinu.
It's kind of like saying that Einstein invented the theory of relativity. He didn't invent it, he just like...
Correct.
...the down paper.
Correct. But it was because of him that this all started. So why would he want to make Kiddush? As I said before, he's the closest to the Kisei HaKavod. Come on. What does he want to come down to earth for? The answer is the same. The answer is that just like Yaakov wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, the opportunity to do mitzvos is something we can't do in the world to come. Rebbe wanted to have a little zchus to recite Kiddush for his family. Not what we would think. He wanted to spend time with his family. No. No. And this, Rav Chaim Voloshin says about the Vilna Gaon, as we just told the story over, how precious the world to come is. But it doesn't even compare to an hour spent learning Torah and doing mitzvos in this world. Because you can't do that there. Yes, we know, Pirkei Avos again, Perek Dalet again, Chaf Beis. It's better 1 hour of tshuva, ma'isim toivim, in this world than an entire life in the world to come. Because that's the true world. Because we have to do it here. And that explains the premature death of Nadav and Avihu, Achrimos, why it's the laning of Yom Kippur, and why it's so important to our parashas. So we have to understand the ability that we have in this world, the greatness in this world. So I think the message is a dual message. It's a message of the individuality of a person. The ability has to change, but it has to come with Eitzah Tov. It has to come with an Ezer Kenegdo. Has to come with Eitzos. This includes from your own Rabbeim, setting to be able to ask advice to someone, to understand, am I on the right path? Someone who's able to push you more when, you know, not often, but when guys ask me, you know, what should I look for in a shidduch? So I often talk about being pushed on a spiritual level. You want to have someone who's there and pushing you and gets you out of bed and says, no, minion, let's go. Come on. Vacation's over. Let's go. I think that's part of this idea. And yes, during the time of Sefiras HaOmer, we should concentrate on etzus from other people, of what a chavrusa can do and what how it's able to set a new perspective, something you may have never thought of before, right? My friend told me an amazing story. He said he was in the Beis Medrash late one night in YU, and Rav David Lifshitz, the great gadol, came up to him and he said it was quite obvious he was learning with his chavrusa. He was bothered by something. He was pacing back and forth with David Lifshitz, that's all, from the Beis Medrash. My friend says to me, he came up to him and he says, "Nu, shver toisus, shver toisus. I can't understand toisus." So he looked at him. "I'm going to help you. Come on. You're an hour pacing back and forth. I'm going to help you." So he read him toisus. Oh, he just started reading toisus. And in the middle of him reading, he goes, "Ah, ah, a zuit shot." He said, "I didn't say anything yet." He says, "No, you stopped. I didn't stop there. You stopped the where you stopped. Now it explains Tosfos to me." Right? David Lifshitz. Right? You never know. I often say this, that the beauty of the Torah of the Mitzvahs is it's possible to sit at a Seder with the biggest Gadol Hador, in the big, you don't care, give me the whatever name, and you could actually say a vort over that he never heard. Right? He may never, you know, he doesn't have the Yahu HaGadol, whatever it might be. But you could say, a kid can say something over, a kid. You spoke about Einstein, you know. It's hard. I would imagine, you know, a guy would go up to Einstein, "Shh, listen, I have a great theory." That. I'm like, "Well, okay, you think I haven't heard that before?" Go up to a math, "Shh, listen, professor, I know you're a big professor, Harvard, blah, 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 blah." Maybe we shouldn't say Harvard or Columbia. Okay, fine. "But you're a big professor now. 2 + 2 = 4. Psh, get out of here. You're going to give me a, right? Yeah, we heard all the gematrias. Yeah. But he comes with a pshat. He said, "Wow, I had the great schuss of having a wonderful, amazing Seder. Really amazing. Hashem, we had a private room. And to hear my children, ah." Right? But also there's something to do with that. It's Eitzus. Wow, I could do something with that. I never heard that before. Again, I'm a nobody, but I'm saying, in comparison, that's what's beautiful about Torah and beautiful about mitzvahs. Again, I'm sorry to say it again. You could have the greatest Gadol Hador, the greatest. And he may not be able to be on par with Chesed. We talk about Kiruv a lot. Guys that are on, especially now, on college campuses, they're able to be makariv more. They're able to, I'm going to go on college campus now. My life would be at risk. But they're able to talk to people. They're on the other side of the protests and say to them, "What are you doing there?" He said, "Well, I heard that Israel," because my friend in Label Chayal, here's what's really happening. "Oh, really?" There's a guy going around YouTube. He sits at a table and he says, "I was in the Gaza war. I'm an Israeli soldier." And they start asking him, and he says, "No, that never happened. What are you talking about?" And a lot of people were like, "Oh." I think the lesson here is important. We have to understand the abilities that we have as individuals, and I think this is what Sefiras HaOmer is all about. It's the individual goal of reaching Shavuos, and it's also recognizing v'ahavta'rech kamocha, the beauty and the qualities of what we can do with other individuals. And I think that that's of the utmost importance. We should be zeicha to, especially this year, where there's so much sorrow, and we daven, of course, as always, for the chatufim, and we daven for our soldiers, and not knowing exactly what's going to be happening in the next few days and hours and weeks. And we know that ultimately we're in the right place. We're in Eretz Yisrael. Right, let's not forget, that's where Yaakov Avinu wanted to go, Dafka, to Eretz Yisrael. We're in the right place. And as we come upon now the commemorations and holidays of modern history, of thinking about the Holocaust, Rahman al-Islam, Yom HaZikaron, which I can't imagine will be one of the hardest, if not the hardest, ever commemorated, and then to go into a Yom HaSmut, I don't know how that's going to be celebrated. But these are the times that we recognize what individuals have done, but also collectively what we can do. And certainly we need the achdus. We should be zeichet to see the Bayis Shlishi, the ultimate form of the ultimate achdus of the world, where we can continue doing Torah mitzvos in the appropriate way. B'vi'as kol tzedek v'heir v'yameinu. Amen.